what I learned about myself was that I could actually do it. When you have it in your head for so long and you're like, I can write this, I can, because honestly, Dom, I have three other stories that are totally separate that are on a shelf that sometimes they want to come out. And I said, no, I'm not ready for you yet. I need to finish this. I learned that I can write. And it may have been a dream that it was something I thought I could do. But then when you actually sit and write it down, now it's like, yes. Not only can I do it, I'm good at it.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today that is alive and well, known as Podmatch.com, a wonderful place where podcast guests can connect with podcast hosts, and they're freaking cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed. That's right, indeed. We're going to anoint her with the title Glam Boss of the Grandma, because she's freaking fabulous, y'all. She's a wonderful grandmother, a wonderful wife, as well as a baker, y'all. And she's joined the business of immortality for the first time in the wonderful land of fiction. So let's give it up for Miss BPD herself, the fabulous Beth Polino Dudzik. How you doing today, Beth?
I'm doing great. I really am. I always have a full day, and I end up writing at night, and I find it relaxing. And if I'm home, I put on new age music and I just let it flow. I actually have the NFL network on though, because I'm a big football fan, so I can rewatch Super Bowls that I've seen like three or four times. They just played the last Super Bowl and I'll watch it. I mean, you put on a game from 20 years ago and I'm like, yeah, I'm in. So that's one of my passions, believe it or not. I grew up with it, and I just love it. When it's football season, college, pros, don't bother me on the weekends. don't. And Monday night and Thursday night. So, yeah, pretty much I tell my friends, it's football season. I'm not going to do anything. Just, you know, go ahead, go do something else, because I'm not joining you. Unless it's a bar with a TV set, then I'll go.
Yeah, there you go. So who's your favorite team?
Well, I'm a New Yorker by birth and live most of my life there. So I am a New York Jet and a New York Giant fan. I love them both. And some people think that's kind of weird, but one's an AFC team and one's an NFC team. And if the day happens that they both are in the Super Bowl, then I will be win-win and lose-lose, because somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, and I'll be upset and happy at the same time. So I don't see that happening right away. So I can still love either one of them.
I guess someone's got a lucky husband.
I think I got him more into football than he originally was, because it's my nature. So now he's invested. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. It's usually the other way around, so I guess we can add hypnotist to your wonderful resume.
There you go. There you go. It's same thing with baseball. I'm a Yankee fan, and my father used to take us to Yankee games, old Yankee Stadium, the rebuilt. And obviously, before I left New York, been to the new Yankee Stadium. And I remember my father taking myself and my brother, who was 14 months younger than me, to our first Yankee game. And I was 4 years old. And I remember they were playing the Chicago White Sox. And we were sitting in box seats between third base and home plate. And I will always remember that. And we used to go to Old Timers Day. We went to when Mickey Mantle retired, Bat Day. My father would just say, let's go to Yankee Stadium. And we would go. So I kind of spoiled that way. Yankees have had some good years, but yeah, I will watch baseball when it's the playoffs. It's too much to watch every game. It's too long. It's too long of a season. I am also a Ranger fan. I'm a New York Ranger fan. So you put the sport out there, and I will tell you that I watch it. I'm a sports girl.
So did you play sports growing up?
My brothers did, and I think that was partly the reason why I was so, my brothers are all younger than me, but being the only girl
Ah,
in
there it
that
is.
house, the house was run like it's baseball season, it's lacrosse season, it's football season. And so our house worked around my brothers playing sports, and I just got into it with them. So it comes naturally. And I think I like being a woman who knows about sports because I can talk about things from the 60s, baseball, football. Yes, I can. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of being one of those women who actually like sports. But I also like to cook. I usually cook every night. I bake when it's Christmas season. My house is a cookie conveyor belt because I make cookies, sending them out to various daughters in various places. So it becomes a major operation in my house. But I'm happy to do it because it's been a tradition. And I kind of like to stick to those traditions that I'm going to make the Christmas cookies that you grew up with and I'm going to send them off to you. And they appreciate it. So as long as something is appreciated, you're doing a job well done.
There you go. That's right indeed. So the journey to the Beth that you are today, if it were to be a cookie, what would it be?
Well, I do make this great butter cookie, and I make them into a sandwich with raspberry jelly. And those are my favorite.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So life is two big, wonderful homemade butter cookies with some was it raspberry cream in the middle?
Raspberry jelly, yeah.
Raspberry jelly. There you go. That's right indeed. So what was the jelly part of Beth's journey?
Yes. I can tell you a little bit about my journey in writing the book because that is actually a story. I had this idea for this book 25 years ago in my head. And the best way for me, and it just kept coming to me over the 25 years. And I raised three daughters and I went through a divorce, so that was something, and never found time for myself to actually write this story that started to become more vivid. The best way I can describe it is over the years, it was foggy, it was grayscale, it was the characters were there, but they didn't have names. It was snippets of the story coming to me at certain times. And a year ago in April, I was cleaning house and taking a shower, and all of a sudden, the dialogue, the names of the characters, everything started literally flooding through me. It was like I turned on the water faucet and I couldn't turn it off. And I said, I'm going to sit at my computer and I'm going to start writing this. And I started writing and I didn't stop. And I still haven't stopped. I'm still writing what I thought was going to be one book is now a series of five. And I'm on the last book. The first one is out. It's called Playing Hard, Perfection Saga, book one. And book two is actually being worked on. The second round of edits have happened and it's now gone to the proofreader. And then it goes through a lot of other different things. I am self-publishing. So I will say to people who are looking to write a book, if you go through a literary agent, you will probably be turned down. New authors are not what they want unless you have something unbelievably spectacular. Not everybody is J.K. Rowling's or I don't know the name of the woman who wrote 50 Shades Grey. Those are not what normally happens. A first-time author, if you can get a literary agent to even look at your stuff, and then they go to one of the houses and, you know, then they turn you down. So self-publishing is the way to go. I will say this, you can upload anything up onto Amazon and make it a book. However, it is not polished. It is not going to get seen. So I went through a process. There is a website that's called the Alliance of Self-Publishers. Now, I will tell you also that there are a lot of really bad scam artists out there that are just looking to sell you a package for $10,000, $15,000. And they say they're going to do all these wonderful things for you and your book does nothing. So I went through this website and there were literally six or seven of those people who had a green light, which meant that they were worthy. And I interviewed with every one of them. And I was looking for somebody who was going to help me through the process, which means editing, going through the right steps and getting ISBN numbers and copywriting. And I did find a wonderful person. And everybody who works with her, it's like subcontractors. So I interviewed editors and I came up with my editor and she's wonderful. And then I interviewed with a person who is doing my website and my book covers and I landed on her. And then marketing is the biggest deal because you can do all this, but if you don't market the book correctly, your book is going to sit on Amazon and nobody's going to know about it. So for me, the investment in marketing is the most important thing. And because I'm working with a publishing consultant who has all those people lined up, I can honestly say I have the A team working for me. And I told them, get ready, we're doing five books together. And they're happy. They like doing series. When I started writing the book, I just kept writing. And they asked me what my word count was. And when I told them, they said, oh, no, that's two books. You just wrote two books. And I said, really? And they're like, yeah, we have to split that up. That's two books. And when my editor was going through that and she read the end of what I thought was book one, but it's really the end of book two, she said to me, how about we continue this story this way? And I agreed with her and I said, oh, Sure, I can do that. So book three became book three and book four. And so now it is four books that are written, and the fifth one is I'm getting to it as I'm getting involved with book one marketing, book two, when am I going to get the edits? So it's kind of like playing back and forth, but I find that writing in the afternoon, listening to my new age music is very soothing. And I do write at night, and I find writing at night is it just helps me. It's easy to write at night.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. It's a night owl swag, huh?
Well, I'm trying to swag it out. I mean, I am trying to get into, and there's a bunch of book festivals, and when I say a bunch, there are a bunch, but financially you have to say to yourself, which ones make the best sense for me? And the Brooklyn Book Festival, of course, as a New Yorker, I want to do that. And I have a daughter who lives in Brooklyn. So that is paramount to me. And the funny thing was, they had tables available. And my business manager, who is my husband, said, let's wait a week, which I didn't want to do. I'm kind of like, no, let's hit it. Let's hit it now. And when I went back, I was waitlisted, and I sent them an email saying, look, I want to be the first one off that waitlist because I'm a New Yorker. The story starts and originates in New York, in Long Island. And as a New Yorker, understand that I said Long Island as one word. That's the way we say Long Island in New York. So the Brooklyn Festival is really important. It is very big. So I plan on going to that one because I'm in Alabama, believe it or not. There is a book festival in Decatur, Georgia. So that's fairly easy. One in Nashville. There are others, but these are the ones I'm choosing. There's Austin, which is very big. It's the Texas Book Festival. And Austin's a very cool city. And the Portland Book Festival, because I have two daughters who live in Portland, Oregon. And that's where the little grandchild is. So the Portland Book Festival is also important. So that means traveling. So putting myself out there is the most important thing because yes, I wrote a book, but I am the brand. My face, what I tell you is the brand that I'm selling is me. I'm selling me. I'm selling the 1970s New York rock and roll club scene because that's where the story originates from. And I do know about that because I was part of that scene. And I don't think it could be duplicated at this point in time. I don't think there's going to be anything like that. The only thing that maybe came close to it was the grunge movement in Seattle. But the New York club scene was very vibrant. And there was one band that came out of that club scene. I don't want to mention them because I don't know if I can, but they did come from that, and they did have two songs that were popular. And if I said the name, everybody would know them. So not everyone who was really good, and there was some really good bands, made it because you had to have the something different that set you apart from other bands. Or it back then it was somebody from a record company, an A&R guy, to come watch you play in a club and find something that you had that was different from everybody else. And then you did a demo. And then the record company was either thumbs up, thumbs down. And if it's thumbs up, you know, then you go through the whole recording process. And it's not like it is today where bands either own their own record label, they stream their music to, you know, Spotify or whatever, iHeart, and their music is automatically out there and they dribble it out there. But in the middle of that was MTV, and MTV made a lot of bands very popular because of their videos. And we all know that. So I run from the club scene in the 70s, and it is a love story. It is a romance story. And we go through that, and it's about the band and the couple going through every change in a 20-year span of the music scene, because it does change. And it is very different today than it was back in the day.
Oh, all right, that's what I'm talking about today. So I'm talking about today. One of the magical journeys, y'all. That's right. That's right. So were you part of a band too?
I wanted to be. I did want to sing, but I had a very good friend who I dated for a little while. And he was a roadie. Yes, I did. He was a roadie for what was the marquee band on the club circuit. They were the number one. Everybody wanted to go see them. And they all became my friends. And when I say friends, they knew my children. When I lived in Hawaii for a rather long period of time, my daughters were all born there. And when I moved back, there they were. They were having Thanksgiving with me. So these were friends that I had for a good part of my life. And they were the most talented musicians in the world. They really were. And it's unfortunate that they weren't the band that came out of that music scene and made it big. They should have. But during that process and hanging out with them, you meet other bands, because sometimes, and I name Glen Island Casino, which used to be very big in the 40s for the big band era. And Tommy Dorsey and all, they used to play there. But back in the 70s on Tuesday night, it was rock and roll. And there were three bands that played there. So while I'm hanging out with my friends, there's other bands. And I did date for a while a bass player in another band. So I became, not only did I have friends, then you have a boyfriend and you live the club scene. It's like on Monday nights, you're here. Wednesday nights, you're here. And it is going to the gigs when they played. And that's what I did. And it was fun. And at times it wasn't fun, because there's a lot of late nights and breaking down equipment, and just it's a grind. And people who, and I think it still is for bands. I'm assuming there are bands that play clubs in Nashville. Nashville comes to my mind. And to make it, you still have to do that playing in a bar. Are people listening to you? They're talking above you. But if you're really good, they come to hear the music. And they'll shout out, hey, play this, hey, play that. So it's changed a little bit, but yes, I was part of it. Did I want to sing? Yes, I did. So I have been literally living the female lead character of my book. And I will say that there are things in all of the books that are part of me, that really happened to me, that are, and I'm not going to tell anybody what they are. I will tell you that. I'm not going to tell anybody what those things are, but there are things that were said to me, things that I actually did. The lead character, and her name is Gina, I will say that. Gina and I have become very symbiotic. Things that I wrote in the story, I actually feel because of the character. And she has a lot of my qualities too. So now it's like, where do I begin? Where does she begin? It's kind of meshed up. It's a mash. And when you go back and you reread your story because you stopped at a certain place or the book is being edited and you reread what you wrote, I will cry in the parts when there are sad parts. There are certain songs that are directly related to the story and I'll cry, or it'll bring a warm and fuzzy. So we've become enmeshed in each other. So with that said, she's a lead singer. While I do my workout, I've been practicing my voice, and I have good singing days and I have bad singing days. And I have written songs, and hopefully there'll be some bands out there that might like my lyrics and maybe want to work with me. And maybe I'll get to sing some of those songs. I don't know. We'll see. That's how far I'm taking it. It's a romance. It's about rock and roll. And I will say this. It's a little dirty. It's not for young adults. You need to be 21 and older to read the book, I think.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, indeed. There you go, indeed. So playing hard, indeed. That's what I'm talking about. So what you learned about yourself through the process of putting this book together?
What I learned about myself was that I could actually do it. When you have it in your head for so long, and you're like, I can write this. I can. Because honestly, Dom, I have three other stories that are totally separate that are on a shelf. That sometimes they want to come out and I said, no, I'm not ready for you yet. I need to finish this. I learned that I can write. And it may have been a dream that it was something I thought I could do. But then when you actually sit and write it down, now it's like, yes, not only can I do it, I'm good at it. And it opens up that world that I knew I could be a player in some field. Did I think at one point it was acting? Yes. Did I think at one point it was singing? Yes. So now I know I can write. And that's what I learned about myself, is that I had the idea, I just never executed it. And now that I have done it, I know that I can write. So that's what I learned. I learned that about myself, and I learned to open my vocabulary a lot, because you don't always want to use words like, oh, well, that was beautiful. Well, no, there's a better word than beautiful. So you start thinking about what's a better way to say that. So your vocabulary opens up. I learned that I can write very dirty scenes, very sexy, dirty scenes that has me a little concerned when my daughters read the book, because I'm not sure that they've actually read it, and they're probably going to read it and say, what is she thinking about? Because this is filthy. My God, Mom. My mother read it, and I was worried about her. And she loved it. And she said, it wasn't as dirty as you said it was. And I said, no, I think it is pretty dirty. But women do love, and they call it smutty books or sizzly, hot, spicy. I have a ladies' book club that meets every month. And usually it's at my house. Sometimes other ladies will chip in and say, we'll do it at my house. But it's usually at my house. And these ladies want to read dirty books. That's what women's book clubs want to read. Give them a dirty book. Now, are all book clubs like that? No. But the ladies who I've met over the 6 years that I have lived here, and we've had a change of people moving in, they want to read dirty books. And it's amazing. And then you go on TikTok and you connect with authors or these BookTok people. And there's all these different kinds of spicy hot. And you're like, oh, okay, it is a thing. And it's a real thing. Women want to read it. And the one question people have said to me, my friends, is, oh, well, you must have read 50 Shades of Grey. I never read the books, never read them, never saw the movies. It didn't interest me. So if anybody makes that comparison, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Never read the books.
Hey, there you go. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. So, if folks ask, it's 50 Shades of I have no idea.
I have
That's
no idea. Yeah, I really don't. I don't. I remember one of my daughters was in college when those books came out, and all of her friends were making a big deal out of it. And it wasn't on my radar. And she was telling me about it. And I guess she borrowed somebody's book and she said, I can't read this. And I said, well, read me, what's supposed to be the big deal about it. And I said, okay. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in it either. But ladies around me were like talking about it, like, oh, you got it. Why aren't you reading it? It's like that, it doesn't interest me. And then I find myself years later writing very sexy scenes. And it's kind of liberating at the same time because you're giving somebody a fantasy because it's a fictional story and they're either going to have an idea in their mind of what the two characters look like, or women will put themselves in that fantasy. So I leave it up to the reader to decide whatever they want to do with it. Did you know that, Dom, though? Did you know that women like that?
Oh, yeah, I have a day job at a local library full time. We have, yeah, the romance section is probably one of the highest revenue generating book genres on the planet for a reason.
And that's why I'm in it. That's why I'm in it to win it, Dom. I'm in it to win it. And when you're going through the process of marketing, you want to get your book reviewed by reviewers, right? You know this. And yes, you have to pay for those reviews too. And I paid for five and three of them are five stars, and I'm waiting for the fourth one to come in, and we're pretty sure it's going to be five stars. So, I can think it's a great book. My friends can think it's a great book, but when somebody outside of my circle gets it and says, yes, I know where she was going with this, I can't wait for the second book to come out, then I know that I wrote a good book. I wrote a romance. I wrote intrigue. I wrote sadness. So it's all in there to keep you guessing. Because if it's just static, it's not going to be interesting. So you have to throw a wrench in there to make it interesting. So I think I've done that several times. So yes, the romance genre is huge. And the next thing is getting on other certain romance sites and selling yourself. It's all about selling yourself. That's why the book festivals are important. I'm actually also thinking about going to a rock festival because that is also my people. My marketing person said, do not, yes, your romance. And it's spicy romance, it's romance, love story, but it is also rock and roll. The rock and she said, don't shy away from the rock and roll. So I don't shy away from the rock and roll. Every morning when I'm cleaning my house, it's Spotify. And then when I work out, it's a different Spotify playlist and it's rock and roll. I'm in it to win it. But as far as my book now, like I said, the second one is probably going to come out late summer. and I'll be prime for those book festivals with two books. And you know that when you have the second book, it helps sell the first book and vice versa. And there will be 3, 4, and 5, but 1 and 2 will be out. The second book should be out late summer. And people always ask me, you know, well, where do you see this going? You know, well, do I want to be a bestseller? Yeah, I do. I'm not doing this. This isn't a vanity piece. This is me saying I have quality books and I want you to read them. And it's going to elicit every emotion that you have. Then taking it further, I've written about a dozen songs. Do I want a band to look at my songs? And they don't have to take 12, they can take 2 and put them on it. I want to be a part of every part of my book. I'm not going to give that away. And my publishing consultant said to me, by the time the second book comes and we're on the third, she said, a publishing house could come to you and say, we want part of it. And my feeling about that, honestly, Dom, is if a publishing company then comes to me midway in my writing journey, then I know that I have something better. And why would I give my rights away to you? I'm not going to do that. I own everything now, and I'm going to make sure that I own everything. So if I work with somebody with a song, it's like, okay, 50-50. I'm willing to give you yours, and I'm not going to give up my rights. And then people ask you, do you see this as a series on TV? Yes, I could see it as a series on TV. But I said to my editor months ago, if anybody wanted to pick this up, I said, you and I will write the screenplay because I am not giving it up. This woman is not going to give up any of her rights to my story because I worked so hard for it that if you like it that much, then I know that I have something really good. So why would I give it away?
I tell them indeed, tell them. It's right, days, right, days, right, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And that's freaking awesome. So basically, second book will probably be out probably shortly after this interview. It goes live, and you got 3 more after that. So my goodness, so how's the been with the whole writing process, taking just one major book, separating it into 2?
I knew the clear, because I had to leave you with a cliffhanger for book one. So when book one and book two were one book, and they said, oh, no, 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 it's 2 books. I said, okay, well, then this is where we're ending it. We're going to end it with a cliffhanger, which there is. There's a cliffhanger, which wants you to read book two, because then I pick it up from that spot. And I have to say, book two is so filled with different aspects of what the characters go through. There's sadness, there's happiness, there's a lot of sex scenes, I will say. Honestly, there are. I really beefed that up. But it is a roller coaster of emotions. And where that book ends is another journey. And when I started writing that, I just continued and I said, oh, let's add this twist in. And it just became 3 and 4. And I don't have to worry about it right now, but there are 2 places, and that's something I have to talk to my editor about, is do we end book 3 here, which would be a cliffhanger, or do we end book 3 here, which would still be a cliffhanger? It just depends on what we decide. So that hasn't been decided yet. But there are logical spots in book 3 that should go into book 4. It just as I said to you, it just flowed out of me, Dom. It was something that became, I couldn't turn it off. And I would sit and think and say, okay, no, we're adding this in there. And when you're adding the personal story, you also have to make sure, at least for me, I was adding in the music aspect of the story and making sure that I was on point. And where were we time-wise in the music scene? And adding in, okay, you don't have to do so much touring because we're going to do videos, because then MTV came in. And so I needed to keep myself on track of where I was in the music scene. So, but that was fun. That was like, okay, now I know where we are. And the touring, and I think the hardest part for me in this whole process was coming up with names of clubs, because I did not want to use clubs from back in the day because I didn't want to get in trouble with anybody. I did use one club name because it was a friend of mine who owned it and he said I could use it. So I used it.
Ha.
But coming up with a record company was very hard. I sat in, I have a screened-in patio and I'm looking at my backyard and my dog's out there and I'm writing and I'm Googling all these names for record companies. Everything I picked was a legit record company, so you can't use it. And I'm just sitting looking in my backyard and my yard is fenced and I have a brown fence. So I said, how about Brown Fence Records? It was not taken. I used it. Making up names of people was very hard. You don't think it's, and you have to sit there and say, what's this person's going to name? And there are parts in both book one and book two, because they've been edited and book one's out, where my editor said, and I left it vague, I didn't name the person. And she would always come back and say, give this person a name. And I was like, oh, really? I've got to give them a name. And you think about it. And if you, and I'm always writing notes, because some of those characters come into the whole, book two, book three, book four. And if I don't write them down, I actually did that in book four. I mixed up the names of a family that I had written into the story. And I said, oh, no, that's the name of one of the actual band members. And I had to go back and say, what was their last name? And if you don't keep those kinds of notes, you get off track. But that's what your proofreader is there for. She will catch all those things because that's what they do. And I have a great proofreader and she'll suggest things. And I will say in this process too, people will say, well, my editor came in and just hatchet job my book. Did not have that. Did not have that at all. Suggestions and maybe let's move this here and there, but they did not. Both the proofreader and my editor did not, take a hatchet, and they left the story pretty much intact. So I've been lucky from that standpoint that they get the story, they understand where I was going with it, and they let me run with it. So I'm lucky.
Lucky ducky. That's right, lucky Bethy. That's what I'm
Yes.
talking about.
And I like that you call me Bethy, because everybody in my family, that's what they call me.
Oh, okay. Well,
So
all right.
you vibed on a family, and one of my best friends in the whole wide world who lives in Oklahoma. She calls me Bethy, but it's family, her, and now you have called me that. And that's a very insular kind of name. And my daughters call me the lady. They don't call me mom. They call me the lady. Yeah. They call me other things, but I'm not going to share those things with you because they're a little off color. But we kind of think it's fun. We kind of think it's fun calling each other that. But you know, it's great to have daughters that are women now, and I actually have fun with them. They were not 100% on me doing this, actually.
Oh,
They were worried
wow.
about me. And I said, no, trust me, I know what I'm doing on this. And I do own my own publishing company. So that's why I said I own everything. And the people, I don't want to say they work for me. I would say it is a collective. And I will say, and I didn't mean it to happen this way, but it's all women. And there's about five of us. And some of the ladies have worked on other projects together. So when I say I have the A team, I really do. And we all get each other. And I think that's where I come from, a very lucky place that I'm working with women who get everything that I'm doing and they enhance it. And it's a wonderful collective. And I'm happy that I'm working with women on this. Not that I love men. So let's just put that out there. Men are great. It's just that in this process, it was so much easier working with women because they get it. And I was lucky from that standpoint. And I will say to people, if you do want to self-publish, it's going to cost you some money.
It's true. It's true. That's right indeed. Gotta put your money where your pen is. That's right indeed. Or where your keystrokes are. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So were your daughters scared that you were a church going mother, but you're gonna go in the deep end or they thought you would be?
No, they my daughters, oh, see, my daughters know exactly who I am. When they were younger and I was driving them to school, because I lived in Honolulu for a few years, so I would your kids go to private school there, and I would drive them to school, and I would have my music, and I introduced him to the Beatles. I introduced him to the Rolling Stones. I introduced him to Van Halen. Any CD that was out, I was putting it in. The Police. And that's what they grew up with. And they thank me for doing that now because they have an appreciation for all that music. There was a time when the Backstreet Boys were big, and we had to listen to the Backstreet Boys, which I didn't mind. Honestly, I didn't mind. There was some points where I said, no, we're not listening to this CD. I can't do it. But they had their music, and I said, yeah, okay, well, yes, we can listen to that. But I did raise them on rock and roll, and they have an appreciation for it. I used to quiz them. We would be in the supermarket and they would have the music playing right in the as you were walking down the aisles. And I would say, who sings this? And they would say, it's Sting without the Police. And I'd be like, yes, you got it. It's not. So it's a way of life. And so I married my love for writing with a certain period of time. So I decided to write about it, and that's okay. I'm good with that. And I just want people to give it a shot. There's going to be five of them or four more. And it is a good story. And if you love romance, it's in there. It truly is a love story about two people. And no matter what happens, their love for each other is the one constant that goes through all five books. Yeah, marry the two things that you love the most. And I will say writing, because the other three stories that I have sitting on the shelf are very different. And I will say one is a historical love story. That would probably be the last one I write, because there would be a lot of research involved with that. But they're all love stories. And I noticed this in the thread of when I was thinking about the other books. The female character is very strong. And maybe it's a bit of a reflection of myself, because I consider myself a very strong, opinionated, maybe to some people's dislike, too opinionated. And I think it's great. I have to call things as I see it, and sometimes people don't like it, and I'm okay with that. But being that strong woman either closes doors or open doors. And, you know, I the one thing I will say too, Dom, is that I know that not everybody is going to like me or like the books, and that's okay. There's always going to be the haters, and that's okay. You don't have to like me, the way I present myself. You don't like, but you don't have to like my books. As long as you're not, you don't put negativity on my website or my TikToks or anything like that, because I'm all about positivity. I believe in positivity. What you put out into the universe is what you get back. So if you're always putting out the positive energy, it comes back. The negative energy, I will not accept from other people, because I don't put it out there. And I believe in that whole New Age philosophy. Put out what you want and it will come to you. But when you put bad things out there, you're going to get bad things. So I always say when people start saying going down a path, I'm like, no, don't say it. Don't put it out there. Because if you put it out there, it can happen. And people think that's crazy, but I do believe in positivity.
Yeah, it's a good mindset to have, because it's freaking true. It's like, hey, we decide our realities and with our actions and our thoughts. So it's like, hey, thoughts do become things that they do. So since you're going on a bit of a book tour, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
I think the one question, and I'm happy to answer it to a certain point, is how much of the character is you? And I will honestly have to say a lot of it. It is still fiction. So I put a lot of myself into that character, and I'm happy to say that. And as I said before, there are things that happen to her, or things that she says, or things that are said to her that actually happen to me. So that is, I'm happy to answer that. The one thing I think people will ask me, because of the way I describe the other members of the band, the band she loves, automatically people are going to say, oh my God, is he, and fill in the blank of any rock and roller, right? And my answer to that is, it's fiction. I describe a character. In your mind, that's who that person is. And the great part of fiction, as you know, is the picture you put in your mind is who the character is. So I think people will ask me, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? And I'll say, I don't know. Who do you think they are? Because the way I describe them, there's a lot of rock and roll guys that will fit that description. So who do you think it is? Who's in your mind? Then that's who it is. And I think that's the one question that people will ask me is, who are specific characters? Are they this person? And I will say, who do you think they are? That's who they are. Because that's a great thing about fiction, as you know, Dom, is that I paint the picture to a certain point, but you need to fill it in. I can describe it to you, but you're going to have that visual in your head. Not me. You know, whatever I had in my head when I was writing belongs to me. You come up with who you think. So that's the one question I think people will ask.
So you're that right, folks. So Gina was swimming with the tutu wearing dolphin that had a crown in it in the book, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. There you go. She's laughing. She didn't deny it, so it's true.
There are some things I can't deny. There's some things I can't deny. But Gina, I will say, does have a potty mouth. And that is actually a reflection of myself. I have to remember that I live down south and I have to curb my potty mouth sometimes because I do live in the Bible Belt of the South and my friends are very accepting of my potty mouth. But when I do other things, I do have to watch it. And I am trying to do that. I will say we do have this little local in the town that I live in. And they always have, you know, the families on the cover. And I said, well, hey, I'm a new author. I would love to be on your cover and do advertising magazine. And I sat down with the advertising person and we came up with a plan. Said, but you know, I think I would be a great story for your cover. And the woman who does the cover story said, yeah, no. No. And she it's not a family friendly book. So no, we can't. I said, well, can't you do a story about two people who came from New York and, you know, transplanted down in Alabama and actually enjoy living here? I do have to say, there is something about the South that is very appealing. Everybody is very nice. And there is that Southern charm. And as a New Yorker to say that, it is very appealing. Everybody is friendly. They open doors for you. They keep the doors open. They say, have a blessed day. You know, it's just people are nice. And as a New Yorker, it's a little bit different, but I do love the New Yorkness of myself. That when I go back to New York, and I've lived down here for 6 years, and I do get back up to New York, the minute I smell the air in New York City, the minute I walk the street, I become the New Yorker again. It's something in the way we walk. It's something in our attitude. It's in the air. It becomes you. It is in my DNA. I cannot help it. And then when I come back to here, I have to remember, you know, that swagger that you had when you were in New York, you got to pull it back a little bit because you're back down in Alabama. You're not in New York. So it's a constant back and forth of that. But yeah, I was deemed not suitable for that magazine. My book was not okay. It's all right.
I hear you indeed. Well, I have a fun question for you. If your fabulous book number one in the Perfection Saga series, Playing Hard, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
The main character is Italian, which I am. So she makes her grandmother's pignoli cookies, which if you're Italian, you know what that is. It's a cookie. It's delicious. So I would say a pignoli or, and this is the difference in cheesecakes, a ricotta cheesecake. She makes them in all the books. So I would say that those two things, or her meatballs. which she makes in all of the books. Her meatballs are legendary. And I do make a good meatball.
Ah, so you're a baller.
Yes. I would say baller in every sense of the word. Because, come on, I love sports. And I love the guys who are really putting it out there with their fashion statements. You know, when you see the football players walking into the stadium and they're like suited up, and it's like, I want to see what they're wearing because I'm into it.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, Dade. Ladies love a well-dressed man.
Yes. We do. We do like a well-dressed man. I have to say that.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Dade. So I'm talking about Dade. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year with all of your knowledge and experience, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, I love this question because I actually think of this all the time. If I was 25 and had all my, yes, I would love to go back as a 25-year-old, knowing everything that I know now. I would probably have started writing then. Ladies, take your time. It's okay to be single. Take your time. Don't rush into any marriages.
Yep. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Don't have to rush, y'all. That's right, indeed. Sometimes the flags are so red, it's a whole volcano, but they're like, nope. I got ice cubes. I can fix them. I got ice cubes.
I had red flags, and I didn't notice them. But I will say, I have my three daughters. But at 25, I think I would not have listened to my mother, who was like, "You, what are you going to act for? What are you going to sing? What are you going to write?" I believe that I am supposed to be somebody who's known. I know that sounds very conceited and very vain, but I believe in 2 years, people are going to know my name and they're going to know me. And you're going to say, I had her as one of her first podcasts that she ever did. So there. And I will come back on your show, hopefully a bestseller and very well known. And I'd be happy to come back on your show.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Go for it, indeed. Don't wait for a gopher to appear. Just go for it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed.
Yes.
If you see some buck teeth randomly appearing in some shadows, avoid that area, but still go for it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, sweet. Well, the good news is folks only got a taste of what to expect from the mighty Beth herself. So for those who need to keep in contact with you and cop some copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
It is on Amazon, and you can put in Playing Hard Perfection Saga, or you could go to my website, which is perfectionsaga.com, and you can buy the book on my website. It will be a little button that says buy now, and it will automatically connect you with Amazon. So that's the easiest way. And if you want to get in touch with me, I am on social media. My marketing person set up an author's page, but I do have a public Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. People can always message me there. But I really believe my website is the best way. And if you want to avoid me, then just go on Amazon. It's there. It's waiting for you to buy it.
Oh, we don't want to avoid Beth. No, we want the Bethy to appear in our freaking dreams, y'all. We don't avoid her. That's right, indeed. Add it to your wonderful, magical library. That's right, indeed. Gift a copy to your friends. See if they like it. That's right, indeed. Who's into the romance? Indeed. That's right, indeed. If they want to play hard about the book, let them know it's soft, metaphorically.
Yes. and you might see if you go on my webpage, there's probably some of course only the nicest pictures of myself that are on there, because why would I put a picture that I don't look good in? Nobody would do
Oh, you'd be surprised.
that. I guess maybe I'm a little vain, because I handpick the pictures and say we're using this one or we're not using that one.
Oh, don't be shy about your fabulous.
You know, I will have to say that I am happy with my fabulous self. I have actually, like a butterfly metamorphosis, I have done that, and I am extremely confident in everything. So the book has given me confidence to actually make myself a better person in looks, attitude, everything. So yeah, I'm great with my fabulous self. It's okay to say I like myself, and I like myself the way I am.
Woohoo! Well, you heard that right, folks. Write a book, become a better person indeed. You'll become a better person and not a butter person, y'all. That's right indeed. Name of the game, be better and not butter. Butter goes in the baked goods and stuff. Be better. That means you'll thank yourself later. Be like, yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, before any rabbit holes appear, any parting words before we close up shop?
Thank you for having me on. It was wonderful. I hope I didn't take over the conversation too much, but I kind of think you wanted me to, so I ran with it. I appreciate it immensely. And like I said, if things take off, you know, I will come back if you ask me.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.